taking a look at verse 27, John chapter 10, verse 27. It's a simple verse. You probably have it memorized, even if you don't know where it is and can't give the address. You know this verse, John 10, 27. We looked at it last week. We'll take one more look at it this week. And we'll just read this together, but it's a very practical verse that Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So this talks about hearing the voice of Jesus. And I read something interesting. A fellow named Reuben Job, who writes some devotional material, shared that he said, you know, recently I began everybody started mumbling. I just started noticing. Everybody's mumbling. The sportscasters are mumbling. The radio talk show personalities are mumbling. My kids are mumbling. Even my wife is beginning to mumble, and I'm getting tired of this situation. And he said, and then I was fitted with hearing aids. And I realized everyone was speaking quite clearly. It was me who had the problem. And then the hearing aids came, and life became much clearer. And, you pass a certain point in your life when your body just doesn't work like it should. Isn't that right? Some of you have been there. You know what that's like. And, you know, recently my wife had a birthday, and it was a rather significant birthday. And I just happened to be at the doc for a checkup, and I was asking him. I said, you know, I think my wife she's losing her hearing. And I said, is there any way, what can we do without sort of bringing this up? It's a rather delicate topic. And he said, well, I tell you what, when you get home, you know, just wait until there's a time she's washing dishes, and you just, when you come in, you just, in a normal tone, ask her when, you know, what's for supper. And kind of don't raise your voice, but just stay at that tone, and just kind of as you get closer and closer to her until she actually will begin to hear you. And that'll give you an idea of where her hearing is. And I said, okay, I can try that. So I got home, and sure enough, she is washing dishes. And I walked in, and I said, honey, what's for supper? Nothing. So I'm about, you know, 25, 20 feet away. So I walked a little closer, and I said, honey, what's for supper? Nothing, you know. Okay, got really close. I got almost right up behind her, and I said, honey, what's for supper? And she said, for the third time, chicken! I realized it's actually me who had the problem. And my children confirm this. They often tell me, they get frustrated because I guess, you know, I'm kind of losing a little high sensitivity and high tonal hearing. My I'm having a problem with my ears, so eventually I may have to be fitted with some hearing aids. But this is a bit of an issue physically, but what do we do spiritually when we feel like we can't hear the voice of the Lord? And this verse that we just looked at very plainly teaches us, Jesus says something very clearly. He says, my sheep hear my voice. All of his sheep hear his voice. In fact, as we looked at last week, the first half of this verse, part of what it means to be one of his sheep is defined by the fact that his sheep are able to hear his voice. And so we saw that. The beginning of the problem was with some of the Jews who were surrounding Jesus and were listening to what he was teaching, did not hear what he was saying. They heard the words, but there was no spiritual connection. And Jesus went on to say, the reason you can't hear me, you don't understand what I'm saying, it's because you're not a part of my flock. So hearing God's voice, hearing the voice of Jesus, is what it means to be a believer. We all have the ability. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have the ability to hear his voice. Now, we also looked last week, it's possible that you're hearing his voice and just not understanding that it's actually him who's speaking. We saw that in Samuel. And so we need some hearing aids. We need some help in tuning ourselves in to what Jesus is saying. So that's my prayer today. I ask you, as we went out last week, let this be a week that you are more attentive to listening for the voice of Jesus. And the question, though, that lies before us is, okay, well, how does that happen? What does that actually look like? How do we, in 2012, how do we hear the voice of Jesus? And I want to share four ways in which we can hear the voice of Jesus. There's many more, and this is a huge topic. We could go through a long list, but I won't. I'm just going to give you four this morning that we'll look at, and then we'll finish up with hopefully some application to kind of help us have a few tools in the toolbox as we go out of here that will maybe be more helpful for us. But the first thing to notice is you have to have one of these. You have to get yourself in the Bible. You have to read Scripture. Now, if like me, as I say that, I'm preaching to folks who, all of you probably have access to Bibles, right? You've got access to being able to read God's Word. What about those who don't? What about those who might struggle with reading Scripture, or those who are in contexts where there is no printed word easily accessible? There's people groups who don't have God's Word in written form. So what do we do? And I think we go back to an ancient tradition of listening, right? This is the, again, what happened in first century church. Not everybody didn't. You'd carry around a scroll of the Scripture, right? What did they do? They came to the synagogue. They listened to the reading of Scripture. It's one of the reasons I love to have participation in reading the Scripture. There's power in reading God's Word. So you have to have some way in which you can get into Scripture. To know the voice of Jesus and what he says to you, you have to know what he has already said. And the Bible is filled with what Jesus has said about issues. Go through the Gospels in the New Testament. Almost every issue that you can find that's a hot button issue, Jesus has spoken to. And you can find the references. Jesus talked about anger. And how that is equivalent, if anger and hatred towards your brother is the equivalent of murder, Jesus said. We know what Jesus said about lust. He even gave us a definition of marriage, clearly in Matthew chapter 5, I believe. So all of the issues that we want to know, what does Jesus think? We have to have a context of knowing what he said, which means we have to get into his word. It's, Andy said it this morning, there is no substitute for reading Scripture. And if you can't read, if reading is difficulty for you, then listen. There's the Bible is on an audio CD. Just handed someone a stack of audio CDs, the entire Bible on CD this morning. There are websites where you can go and listen to the Bible being read. ESV.org is one of my favorites. You have two choices. A fellow named Cochran and Max McLean. If you don't like the voice, pick a different voice. So there are ways for you to listen to Scripture. We have smartphones. Some of you use YouVersion. David Risgen put me onto YouVersion. If you use that, it'll read to you. It'll read the Scripture to you. So there are many ways to get yourself listening to what has already been said. There's just no substitute for that. Andy was absolutely right. If you want to learn to discern the voice of Jesus, you have to know what he has already said. Because how you look forward and listen to in the future, discerning the voice of Jesus, he will never contradict what he has already said. We're responsible to know that. That's why we have Sunday school classes. That's why we have Bible studies. It's part of small groups. Reading Scripture, getting yourself immersed into the Bible is necessary. You cannot rightly discern God's voice, the voice of Jesus, without reading Scripture. Because we have an enemy, do we not? Who makes his voice heard very loudly. And you know what? He can quote Scripture. So it may have the ring of truth to it, but applied in the wrong situation. You have to get in God's Word. Somehow, some way, you must do it. So, there are a couple of things. He has already spoken. You have to know what he has said. And the other thing that we are taught about the Bible is, this is not a static book merely of recorded events in history. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 said, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." If you are one of the sheep of Jesus, you're a follower of Jesus, you've spent time reading the Bible, you will have experienced this in some level. You will have been reading this and you will be utterly convicted. Or your motives will be laid bare as you're spending time over God's word. Because what we have is a living testimony. God works through his word in our lives as we are interacting with it. So you have to get in God's word. I can't say it any other way. In order to rightly discern his voice, you must soak in his word deeply. Because he has spoken and he still speaks. And we discern what he says today to us in 2012 by fully understanding what he's already said. And an interesting verse that he still speaks, that God still speaks through his word, is Hebrews 11:4. This is the hall of faith, as it were, if you're familiar with this. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." Meaning, Abel still testifies. The events recorded in Scripture are there for us to read, and as we read, the Lord still speaks. There's still a kind, a manner of speaking. Those who have gone before us, the saints who have died, still speak. Because we can still read what they have said, what they have spoken, messages that they have given, and how they were commended. So there's still a kind of way in which the Bible speaks. So we know we can know what Jesus is saying based upon what he's already said and the fact that this book, his living word, still speaks to us. And I just want to share a couple of examples with you, if I could, this week in reading through my daily scripture. I have learned a good discipline from Steve Macchia and LTI, Leadership Transformations. And one of the things is a challenge. If you, I have to be on a Bible reading plan. I have to have some structure on what I'm doing that carries me through Scripture. And I love to go forward at a certain pace. But we struggle, I struggle with, when do you stop? As John Piper said, you have to read the Bible fast and slow. You need to plow through texts, and sometimes you just need to stop. And this past week, I found one of those verses that really sort of leaped out at me. It was in Psalm 62. Verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him." And the pour out your heart before him was what grabbed me. Pour out your heart. I just stopped and I thought, I have to sit with that for just a minute. What does that mean? Pour out your heart. Well, what is in your heart needs to be brought out. Pour it out. I sat and I was like, what's in there? Stop for a moment and ask myself, what's in my heart? Well, there's concerns. There's worries. There are anxieties. There's wants and wishes. There's a long to-do list that I have on my mind. All of these things. In other words, pour out your heart where? It's not just the act of pouring it out, but where are you pouring it out? Before the Lord. Meaning you sit with, this is what I took from this. The Lord was telling me, Todd, I want to know what's in your heart. I want you to bring it out and let's talk about it. He knows what's there, right? But me confessing and sharing, what are your worries? Well, do you really need to carry that? Jesus says, "We come to me and what? I will give you rest." Can I carry that? Can you trust me with that difficulty, with that problem, with that worry, with that anxiety? Leave it with him. Bring it out. Show it to him. Have a conversation with him. So I sat with that and poured out my soul, as it were, before the Lord. And then I thought, okay, now I'm pretty empty. What do we do now? And just across the page, which my reading plan takes me through about two psalms a day, and I just went across the page, Psalm 63, verse 5. "My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips, as we have been doing this morning. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, for your right hand upholds me. What did that say to me? It said, Todd, empty out your soul to me. Come, lay out all of your concerns, and then I will satisfy you as with fat and rich food, meaning I will fill you up. With all that is empty, I will fill you with myself, with good things, and care for you. So I was blessed by that particular reading. Just going through the scripture. And then another time, as I was reading on later in the week, I came across the story one more time of David and his sin with Bathsheba. And I read through that whole grievous chapter and how wonderfully David had lived up to that point, how hard his heart had gone after the Lord, wholeheartedly following him, and then what? Massive failure for several reasons. And I thought, okay, well, here's a warning that I need to attend to in my own life. Don't think this kind of thing cannot happen to you, right? It happened to great men in Scripture who have fallen to lust and been unguarded in their heart, got way off track, way confused, not where you should have been, and wound up where you never wanted to go. So from Scripture this week, I was blessed by Psalm, and I was also warned by this passage in 2 Samuel. And that's just in the daily. If you stop long enough to listen in God's word, there are many ways in which he will speak to you. I think that was the Lord speaking to me. That was him telling me what I needed to hear. So that's the first way I would commend to you to hear the voice of Jesus. You have to read your Bible or listen to it in some way. Get God's word so filtered into your soul that it affects everything you do. Right? We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. So the second way is prayer. Prayer, I think, goes hand in hand with reading Scripture. Something I learned in seminary, one of my professors said before he would sit down to begin to read the Bible for the day, he would pray and say, God, open up your Word to me, and then open me up to your Word. And I have stuck with that. Open up your word to me means help me understand what I read. Open up me to the word means let the word then come in and change me. Let me stand under it in as the authority of God's word over me. And that's a prayer that I pray often. And so also that is part of it. But when we're praying, pray intentionally. When you sit with the Lord and we're asking questions, we've got that down. We know how to tell the Lord what to do, don't we? But can we sit long enough for him to tell us what to do? Can we pause and listen and allow communication to happen in our prayers? Can we be silent for a little while as incorporated into the conversation? If we're having a conversation with God, we talk. When we're having a conversation, someone talks and someone listens. So we talk, and then it's appropriate that we then listen. Let that be a part of your rhythm, of your daily activity in coming to God's word. Now, this past week, we had a prayer watch, 24-hour prayer watch. How many of you participated in that? Were you able to join? I hope you were blessed. I'm always blessed to be able to sit and read and pray. And as I came in, I had this ungodly hour of 2 a.m. But actually, it's quite godly because it was a very good time. But it was good. I'm glad I did. I didn't get in until 2:15. But Gerald was still here, and we passed in the night. But I sat down in the prayer room, and as I was beginning to pray, I just said, Lord, is there anything you want to tell me? And I just sat. What do you want me to hear? And then I sat, and it was in a little recliner chair back in the room, and I just sat there. And as I was thinking and praying, what came to my mind was a conversation I had had with my oldest son earlier that day. I had picked him up from a soccer game, and I hadn't seen him all day, and it was a fun game. So we got in the car, and we're getting ready to head home, and it was late in the afternoon, so there was lots of traffic, and I thought, this is good. This will give us, actually, I was enjoying the traffic, because this will give us plenty of time to talk and catch up. But as soon as he got in the car, his school has wonderfully supplied him with an iPad, and pop, it comes open, right? And he is into the iPad, and I'm asking him questions about how the day's going, and it takes about 30 seconds to get an answer, right? David, how'd it go? Oh, it was good. It was good. And interspersed through all this conversation was yes and beast and woohoo. You know, so there was an activity going on. His attention was focused on what he was doing in the iPad. And how does that make you feel? I'm trying to make a connection with my son. I'm trying to hear what's happening in the day, and it's not working. And so I'm praying, Lord, do I talk about this or do I just let it go or what? So we had a conversation. And I said, David, I really wanted to spend some time talking with you, but I don't have your attention. Your attention is elsewhere. And so we talked about that. He closed it up and we had a good conversation. And as I was sitting there praying through all of that, I felt like the Lord then said to me, so Todd, what's your iPad? What is the thing that prevents you from focusing your wholehearted attention on me? We have a heavenly Father who loves us. How often do you sit undistracted and with all of your heart prayerfully say, I am all yours right now. What would you say to me? It was a loving smack, is the way I felt. Because I have tons of iPads, and they're all very worthy causes. And yet, what is it that keeps you from intimacy with the Lord? Pray, ask Him, show me what it is, and I'll close it. Question, would you remove it, whatever it is? Because there are many things which capture our attention and draw us away from spending time with Him and communing with Him. So we have to be able to sit and listen. That's the second thing. Pray and listen to the Lord. The third aspect of this is what makes us effective in reading our Bible and understanding Scripture, and what makes us effective in prayer is not techniques we learn, but is a gift of a person. God has given us, as His sheep, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's not far. We don't have to yell loudly to get His attention. He's very near to us. His Spirit dwells within us. So, one verse to read, Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Having the Holy Spirit is what enables us to understand the voice of Jesus. And in that verse, notice this, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ are used to refer to the same person. We believe in one Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the person who communicates the will of God to us and the movement of the Lord in our lives. If we are His sheep and He is leading us, we are following. There's a sense of movement. This is not a static relationship. It's a dynamic relationship in which the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. There's not a time on the face of the earth that you are not dwelling near the Lord, because His Spirit dwells within you. The psalmist says there's no place you can go on the planet to get away from His Spirit. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the most distant part of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Even there your right hand will uphold me. The Lord has put His Spirit within His children. It's amazing. That's what it means to be able to hear His Spirit. I mean, to hear His voice is by His Spirit. And just a few verses down, 8:14-16. For all who are led by the Spirit, that's being led like a sheep, right? All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons. And that means sons and daughters, all the siblings of one family are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. Meaning the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. The Holy Spirit bears witness in our souls. You're one of his children. He's calling to you. Sit and listen. And so we have the ability to then cry out to the creator of the universe and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, will you hear me? Will you listen to me for just a minute? That's a wonderful privilege that we have. And I remember the first time I think I ever experienced that in my life. I was in high school. I was praying with Keith Hornbeck. And we had been out running around. We came back home. And it was kind of late, and we knelt down to pray. And if you ever fall into the trap of just using the same words over and over in your prayers, you get a certain phrase, and you just, that's it, right? We memorize certain prayers, and that's our default, because we're really not talking to anyone. We're trying to impress the people we're praying with. And Jesus gave us some warnings, and he said, avoid vain repetition, right? Don't use useless phrases when you pray. And so I was quite guilty of this. And the thing I was guilty of saying all the time was, Lord, be with us. Be with us here and be with us there and be with me and go with us. And I just said it and I didn't think about it. I will never forget as I said, Lord, be with us. And at one point in that prayer, it was as if there was a radio beside my head. And what I heard was, my little child, I am always with you. I have never forgotten that. Never. Now, those are the kinds of impressions you need to test, right? You hear a voice. It wasn't an audible voice, but you know what I'm talking about. Now, I go to the scripture and I say, is that the kind of thing Jesus would say? Does that sound like what he would say? And I look at Matthew 28, the very end of Matthew, where Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything I have taught you. And what? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So I thought, okay, that's the Lord speaking. I'll stop using the vain words. I'll try my best. I still do it. But I'm consciously aware. I don't have to pray something so many times to tell Jesus to do something he's already said he's going to do. I'm going to agree. He's with me. He has spoken to our hearts. So in prayer, the Holy Spirit impresses upon us, presses into our soul verses that communicate God's love and his peace. And those are great, wonderful blessings in those moments. But that's the activity and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful gift. So know that the Holy Spirit is active in your praying, in your reading of Scripture. And lastly, one way in which we hear the voice of Jesus is through other people. The way God speaks to his people is often through other believers in the body. Maybe you've had a friend who would simply remind you of a word, and it was exactly what your soul needed in that moment. That happens many times. But just this past week, or actually week before last, I think, yeah, it was a week ago. One verse came up. It was Hebrews 11:6. It came up on one day, three times in one day, which caught my attention. So we had a Wednesday morning Bible study, and we're going through the book of Hebrews, and we made it through the first few verses of chapter 11. And the verse that we ended on was verse 6, and this was at 7 in the morning. You know the verse. Maybe you do. I'll read it for you. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That was the verse we ended our Bible study on. And so we had a little discussion about that and left with the charge, let's consider this week what this means. What's the rewards? What does this mean by with faith it's impossible to please God? We went out with that. Then that evening was the members' meeting, and the devotion that Michael Bradford came and led focused on this same verse. After the meeting, we're talking, all of us sharing. Michael, it's really interesting. That was the verse we ended our Bible study on. And he said, well, that was the verse the Lord impressed upon my heart about 7 this morning. Somewhere around there, a little after 7. It was almost exactly the same time. And Ian, in the conversation too, had a meeting with another friend. That was exactly the verse we were talking about. When you hear those kind of things, you can think one of two things. Ha! Coincidence. I don't. Because I think we have the same Spirit. We all have the same Holy Spirit in each one of us. And why do we need to be reminded of that verse 3 times in one day, in 3 different contexts? And because we're together as a body, we share these things with us and we think, huh, I'm going to read that. I'm going to start praying. Lord, what do you want me to see here? I don't know the answer to that right now, but I'm still asking the question. And I invite you, what does that verse say to us? What is special about that verse? Maybe somebody else needs to hear it simply through your musings. So let it be a topic of conversation. But when those verses rise up in multiple places in the people of God, he's communicating to us. And think about this for just a second. Whom does the great shepherd, the good shepherd, whom does he lead? Who does the shepherd take care of? Sheep. Sheep is plural and singular. So a flock or just one? In this story that we have read just a couple of weeks ago in chapter 10, the good shepherd takes care of all of his sheep, a flock of sheep. He leads his sheep with his voice, all of them. True, we have an individual personal relationship with the Lord, and he leads us. But collectively, can we ask the same question? What is he telling us? What is the Lord Jesus speaking into Hope Christian Church? What's he telling all of us? These kind of conversations help us understand that. So, 4 things as we conclude. As we go out, I want to give you 4 suggestions. Make time, create space, embrace silence, and keep a record. Make time, create space, embrace a little silence, and keep a record. So, first of all, what do I mean, make time? I mean, if you want to listen to the voice of Jesus, you need to make an appointment. You need to mark it off on your calendar and say, I will dedicate some time to him. If somebody very important and you love, with whom you have spent great time, having great affection, comes into town, won't you make time? We make time for the people who we consider to be important. And where in your calendar is it expressed, I will put the Lord first. I will make him a priority. Find a time which you can sit with the Lord and hear, read his word, pray, undistracted. You've got to make that appointment and then keep it and say no. Give yourself permission to say no to other things because many things will crowd in. Secondly, create space. It's good if you can have a place at home, a space at your home where you go and sit and say, this is my sacred space. It's a chair. And early in the morning, I get my coffee, I go to my chair, and I sit, and it's agreed upon in the household. We're not going to talk to Dad. Usually the kids are all still asleep. But Elisa and I will just sit in her chair, I'll sit in my chair, and we both talk to Jesus. We both sit and read and listen. Have a space so that you can establish some pattern of consistency. It's highly recommended with a rhythm and a routine that will help you. It's like studying for a test, right? Whatever you do, studying for a test throughout the week, you know, prior to the test day, do the same thing. Keep the routine the same. So have the routine, which is conducive for listening. Third, embrace silence. We just don't. We simply cannot abide silence. And I think in listening for the voice of the Lord, we need to have room for a little quiet. With no cell phones, no iPads, no radio, no TV, get some place to have a few minutes of quiet time so that you can hear. The point is not just to have a quiet time, but so that you might listen and expectantly wait for the Lord to say whatever he would want to say for that day. And then the last thing I would recommend is please keep a record. Have a journal, notebook, something where you can write down what the Lord says, because you'll forget it. And we're so busy, 15 minutes after you have heard from the Lord, you'll forget it. And you think, no, I wouldn't forget that. Of course you would. Look at the children of Israel. God speaks from a mountain and causes thunder and earthquakes, and the mountain falls apart and fire comes down. And they, what do they say? A month later, we don't know what happened to Moses. Let's go have a party. You will forget. So write it down. Journal your thoughts and your prayers. Keep a record. And it's wonderful at the end of the year or the end of the month to go back and say, what was he telling me? Have I learned it? Have I kept track of these things? So, that's the end of my admonition for you.